fair to say, Arthur, that, you know, the Islanders might be the biggest disappointment. Like, they've got the fewest points in the National Hockey League right now. No one expected them to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been a lot of factors leading to this point, but you certainly expected after the last two seasons, even with all the changes they had in the offseason, that they would still be able to maintain the high level that they set for themselves the last 2 years, and certainly starting off the season with 12 of their first 17 at home in Brooklyn, where they played very well last year, would have seemed to be something that would benefit them as well, but certainly nothing's gone right for them so far.
What has been the biggest issue so far?
It's got to be scoring goals. You know, they were 2 years ago, you know, when they burst on the scene as a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference, their offense was flowing well. You know, John Tavares was leading the way. They had some decent support from guys like Brock Nelson. Anders Lee was an emerging force on offense. And obviously they had guys like Kyle Okposo and Franz Nielsen who had been here through all the bad times and were emerging at the other end as impact players. You know, but now obviously Okposo and Nielsen are gone. Matt Martin's gone, kind of disrupting that fourth line that produced some clutch offense at times last year. And the guys they brought in to replace them just haven't produced. Andrew Ladd stuck on two goals. Jason Chimera has one goal. And P.A. Parenteau was brought in to kind of alleviate some of that and play with John Tavares. He's producing, but not for the Islanders. He's got five for Jersey after he put on waivers, a curious decision when the season started. So there's a few different things that have gone into it, but really the offense, not only the even strength, but on the power play, has just been missing in action so far.
Do you think losing guys like Kyle Okposo really affects the team, even just within the dressing room from a leadership perspective?
I think so. You know, you have the same core of guys here for a long, long time. And, you know, they were essentially the bad news bears of the NHL for a lot of their first few years in the league. And to be able to go from laughingstock to a really respected team with guys that, you know, like it just had gone from, you know, the outhouse to not the penthouse, but pretty close with back-to-back 100-point seasons. And then for them to leave, you know, kind of leave that void. You know, Andrew Ladd's been a captain for a lot of years. Chimera has been on a good Washington team, but it's just different personalities, different getting used to different guys. And, you know, John Tavares is a forceful guy on the ice, but this is a real test of his leadership off the ice. He's not necessarily the loud, rabble-rousing type. And, you know, I think that kind of quiet energy flowed throughout this room. Kyle Okposo wasn't a loud, rah-rah type guy. Franz Nielsen is one of the most unassuming guys around the league. But obviously they worked well with one another as the leaders of the team. And I guess it's taken a lot longer than we all thought for them to replace those voices in the room.
Arthur Staple from Newsday in New York joins us. Arthur, there's a lot of stories going off the ice about Brooklyn and trying to go back to Long Island and everything else like that. And, you know, many people feel that Gar Snow is so entrenched with the ownership group, even though it's the new one, that maybe he won't be let go. However, you know, I don't think it's the same type of loyalty between him and the new owners that he had with the old previous owner. So do you think there's any chance that the Snow or Capuano or those guys on a little bit of a hot seat right now? Are they firmly comfortable in their roles?
I certainly think there's lots of scrutiny from the two new owners. They've been, you know, they were minority owners for the last 2 years before they took over this past summer. So they've been around, they understand and seem to accept the way that Gar Snow ran the hockey operations. And I think they still do. And I think, you know, from what I understand, they still have faith in Garth and the vision he's laid out. Whether that translates down to Jack Capuano and the coaching staff, obviously coaches are always a little bit more tenuous than GMs, especially in the season. You know, Garth came out and said that he does not plan to fire Capuano or change the coaching staff. But obviously a few more losses ends up, changing people's minds and could force the owners to force Garth's hand. So I don't think anybody's feeling very comfortable, and especially the situation that these two owners, you know, bought into the last 2 years, the excitement that was around the team. John Ledecky in particular is a very visible guy as an owner. He likes to be in there with the fans and listen to what they have to say. And I'm sure he's not hearing anything positive right now. So I know that Ledecky is along on this California trip. Gar Snow is here, so we'll see what happens. These next few games, three games out here, and then back home to play Calgary and Pittsburgh, and then at Washington. I feel like these next six games for the Islanders are going to tell a lot about the direction of this season and this franchise.
Do you think there has been any debate within the franchise about trading one of their defensemen or maybe one of their prospects?
I'm sure it's been discussed. You know, Garth Snow is a guy that doesn't really shy away from having conversations with other GMs. You know, they obviously have a decent crop of defensemen, not just the six veteran guys. They've got Adam Pellick, who's up and playing well. They've got Ryan Pulock, who's almost on his fully back from a broken foot. So they're in a situation where they've got a little bit of depth. And, you know, when it comes to the expansion draft, it's probably going to be a situation where they're going to leave a guy like Thomas Hickey or a guy like Calvin DeHaan exposed to that expansion draft for Vegas next summer. So maybe you see a scenario where they can trade one of those guys in the short term for another forward. I think they would love to have a right wing to be able to play with John Tavares or a left wing or somebody to be up in that top six and cement things a little bit more. But those deals are hard to come by. You know, I feel like Garth Snow was really the last guy to think back to early in the season to gamble like that when he traded for Thomas Vanek early in the 2013-14 season and, you know, gave up Matt Molson, gave up a first-round pick. That one kind of backfired on him pretty bad. So I don't know if he's a little gun-shy about trading away, whether it's a defenseman or one of their young forward prospects. Obviously, Anthony Beauvillier is here and contributing. They've got Matthew Barzal, who ended up going back after making the team out of training camp, Josh Hosang and Michael Dalcal down in the AHL. So they've got some assets to work with. Whether they want to start mortgaging the future to really get this team going right now, I think that's a hard decision to make sitting in last in the Eastern Conference.
Arthur Staple joins us from Newsday in New York, talking the Islanders. John Tavares' numbers are definitely not Tavares-like this season. Now, you mentioned Oposo earlier, and that was a big loss for him. But is he struggling on the ice? I think I read in one of your articles he was a little bit banged up, but he's dressed for every game. Is he nursing an injury, or is he just not looking like the player we're used to the last few years?
I think he's fine physically. I think it's just out of sync. He's cycled through a lot of line mates. You know, Andrew Ladd was seemingly brought in to be that left wing to kind of clear space for him and benefit from his on-ice wizardry, and that one lasted about six or seven games, and Ladd is playing tonight with Casey Zvikas and Cal Clutterbuck, kind of in that Matt Martin third, fourth line role. You know, I think it's just adjusting to different line mates, different level of play, and, you know, it's at even strength, even on the power play where I think they really miss Nielsen and Oposo on that top power play unit. That's only operating about 11 or 12% right now. I think it's just a lot of change for him, and it's taken a lot longer than he would have thought to adjust to it. And, you know, I think opposing defenses are really keying on him and forcing him to do things he doesn't want to do. And he is definitely a guy who, when the frustration sets in, tries to do too much, whether it's staying out for a few extra seconds on a shift. He's taken a bunch of frustration penalties so far this year. So, you know, John Tavares is going to get it together, but it's got to be sooner rather than later, or else it just might be too late for this team this year.
Well, it's definitely something to watch for him, but also the coach and the general manager to see if something flies in Long Island. We're November 22nd, there's been no coach firings. That's pretty rare in the National Hockey League. So just out of a process of elimination, you think it might happen for Capuano sooner rather than later if they don't get things turned around. Arthur, as always, we always appreciate your time. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, guys. Anytime.